Good Monday morning to you. It is time now for The Life You've Always Wanted, brought to you by the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute and your hosts, W.K. and Ken Boyce.
Good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Beautiful day. Glad to have you here.
This is a great, great day here in the Ozarks. And I'm ringing everybody's springs around here on the microphones. Stop bumping the table there. It's beautiful here in the Ozarks today. We have finally some calm weather after some rainy weather. We're due for some more active weather tomorrow, we're told. I know that those who have been through all the terrible tornadoes that have come through Oklahoma, here in southwest Missouri and down in Arkansas, and even on over to Georgia, still picking up pieces and can't even fathom having another storm system come through even tomorrow. But that's what they're telling us.
Yeah, it's always difficult to believe. You look outside and you see how gorgeous it is today, and that just a few hours ago, the whole world seemed like it was being turned upside down, and then we're left with the remnants to clean up. But unfortunately, it's not the sticks and stone, the brick and mortar that are the hardest to deal with.
No, that's right.
Everyone that was interviewed on the TVs, radios, everyone's like, oh, this is just stuff. This stuff can be replaced. And it does. It looks like a bomb went off. This morning, they finally released the strength, and it was an F4 that went through that area.
Yes.
Have an F5 scale, 1 to 5, it was an F4. 170 mile an hour wind.
Over a mile wide.
But everyone that was getting up and cleaning up, the stuff can be replaced. The hardest thing right now to deal with is the loss of the loved ones. And this time, it was unfortunate. We lost neighbors. We lost relatives. We lost friends.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the things that don't go back together immediately. Matter of fact, they're going to need to be continued to dealt with as if the storm is continuing for up to a week after, just in the initial process of being able to try to start to say goodbye. How do we deal with that? We hate to be reminded when these things happen, because when it occurs, it shouldn't have happened. This shouldn't have been their time. They're too young. They're too energetic. They're too much to live for.
And too loved.
Too much loved. And yeah, in a blink of an eye, they're gone. Man, some things, it takes time to clean up.
I was reading an article from the Associated Press yesterday talking about this storm system that came through, and talked about it coming through Pitcher, Oklahoma. Now, Pitcher, Oklahoma at one time was a town of about 20,000 people. Very prosperous town, growing town. It was a mining center there in Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. And it dwindled down to about 800 people as families fled lead pollution. And when the tornadoes came through, it just about devastated the town. In fact, they're not sure they're going to rebuild the town.
No.
It just completely demolished it. I know when several years ago, I was down in Texas visiting my mom and dad.
Mm-hmm.
Down in Avery, Texas at that time. And there's a town to the east of there called DeKalb, Texas. And that's where I went to high school, graduated from high school there in DeKalb. But we were there, and we had gone over to DeKalb. We were at a restaurant having lunch over at the junction there in DeKalb. And news report came over, weather report came over the TV there and the monitor there, and said, everybody in DeKalb, Texas, you need to take cover. And that was a statement coming out of Shreveport, Louisiana. But they were warning people in DeKalb to take cover because there was a tornado on its way. It was on the ground. And I looked out the window of that restaurant, and all I saw was blackness as far as I could see both ways. And we went, everybody ran to the middle of the restaurant. In fact, we went into the restrooms there in the restaurant. They were the inside rooms. The tornado came through, still on the ground. It came within about 75 yards of the restaurant where we were. It came through, and it hit the school while the kids were in school. It knocked the walls out. It went on past the school. It went down through town. It took out a third of the whole downtown. Incredibly, no one was killed. The kids in the school were scared and shaken up, but no one was killed.
Mm.
But that was the closest we'd come, and that was an F3 tornado that came through there several years ago. But it was just incredible how fast the tornado can come in and leave. It all happened within seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And as you said, in the blink of an eye, lives can change. Our life, for the rest of the time we have here on Earth, can dramatically be altered.
If you'd like to join us in studio this morning, phone number is 862-9977, 862-9977, or 1-800-375-0056. How are we going to deal with this? How do we deal with this? You know, in a lot of ways, it seems like even though they're our neighbors over by Joplin, Seneca, and just on the other side of the Oklahoma border, it, in a lot of ways, maybe doesn't necessarily come home. I know yesterday I was sitting in worship service, and a gentleman got up and asked for prayers for a family, specifically that had been in that tornado.
There in Joplin, Seneca
yeah.
area?
Mm-hmm. Out in Joplin, just south of Joplin. Of course, everyone more than willing to pass on their prayer. But then he said that the family that was killed, the father, the mother, I think it was a brother and a mother-in-law, were in the car. They were all killed. The next day was the daughter's wedding day. Sunday was supposed to have been the wedding. And I guess they were on their way to dress rehearsal when this all went down. In a blink of an eye, it made it personal for everyone in the auditorium. How do we help? What can we say? What can we do? What can we expect? Prayers are greatly needed. But how do we do this? Because this doesn't just happen somewhere else. It will happen here. It happens in our life. Every day, someone we know is saying goodbye to a loved one. Someone we know has had a loved one pass away 2, 3, 5 years ago and is still not through it. And we honestly don't know how to help them. We don't understand what they're going through. This morning we're going to talk about some of these things. What to expect, what we can expect, and in some cases, hopefully strengthen our own marriages so that in case, God forbid, anything like this happened to us, our marriages won't be destroyed in the process. Do you know that between 50 and 90% of marriages that have lost a child end in divorce?
That's right, yes. That's incredible.
And that's not that they had only one child. They may have had 3, 4, whatever. But the loss of a child and the marriage would end up divorcing most of the time within the year. There's a lot of pain. There's a lot of grief. A lot of things we don't know what we don't know. We don't know how to get through it. We don't know what to expect. And a lot of times we're not prepared, even though we hope we never have to use it. We need to at least have some sort of preparedness to be able to say, okay, this is how we can get through it. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be quick, but it's possible.
Yeah, you know, we lived in Texas some years ago, and while we lived there, there were some friends of the family
mm-hmm.
that experienced their daughters, two daughters experienced a car wreck on the way to school. It was a Jeep, and the Jeep overturned, and they both came out of the initial wreck alive. And they went to take them to the hospital to make sure, just check them out, make sure that they were all right. And after they got them to the hospital, the youngest girl, who was 11, began to experience some discomfort, began to really experience some problems. As they began to check her out, began to realize that this is more than they can handle, so they put on air flight to Dallas. And between Abilene, Texas and Dallas, Texas, she died in that air flight. And what had happened was that in the wreck was that she had broken a rib and had punctured her heart. She was bleeding internally and they didn't even know it. And the family was devastated. The family was devastated. Losing a child in this way, when the initial report is, they're both fine. And then for the events to turn that dramatically within that short period of time, there's just no way to be prepared for that. This couple did end up divorcing. And it's so tragic. You would think that something of that magnitude could draw families together. And that's what most people would suppose would happen, but that's not what happens a lot of times. Because both parents are leaning on each other for support. And it's like both parents leaning on each other for support when each of them have their legs broken.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't realize that. But it just affects families on such a magnitude that a lot of people who have not lost a loved one or experienced the loss of a parent or the loss of a child or a brother or sister or even a grandparent. There are a lot of people that I talk with that said, I've never had any losses in my life. And then other people are just devastated year in and year out. But it's hard. For those who have lost loved ones, for those who have lost a child, for those who have lost a parent or a spouse, And others are telling them a lot of different things, giving them a lot of advice about what they should do or how they should feel or where they should go or how active they should be. All of these types of things don't help. Now, people mean well.
Mm-hmm.
Friends mean well. Church family means well. Even people at work mean well when they give their advice about wanting you to feel better, wanting you to move on with your life. And how long of time does that involve? They mean well, but they don't know. They don't know. In fact, some people feel robbed of their grief. They feel as though someone else is trying to take away their right or their need to heal. And they don't many times have words to put that across to those people.
You know, and we're also in a part of the country that begins the, well, pull yourself up by your own bootstraps.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to a friend of mine this week who lost a friend, 39 years old. And she says, you know, I just keep crying. You know, shouldn't I be over this by now? Well, no. You know, you lost what essentially was a brother. You have to be able to allow yourself to get through this.
Yeah.
And give yourself the time.
Yeah.
You're a very strong person. There's no question about that. But the strength of the love, the strength of the feelings, the untimeliness of it raises a lot of questions. You know, they made the statement when my grandparents had passed away, it didn't seem to hurt as bad. I didn't cry as much. Why is that? Well, grandparents had been sick. They had lived a nice long life. In some ways, it was a progress of life. There were certain stages and things that had led up to this point.
Yeah, it was expected.
At some point.
That's the normal flow of life.
That's right. But when it happens unexpectedly, you just end up in shock. And in some ways, they were wanting to force themselves to feel better faster. But we can't. There are certain things that have to happen. And we have to have an understanding of that. We have Roger in Springfield. Good morning, Roger.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
I lost a daughter in September. And I don't know that you ever get over it. Mm-hmm. The hardest thing to do is to deal with the people who mean well, I think. Lots of times you'd like to just tell them to move on to a different direction or whatever, that you just don't want to deal with it. And then there's other times when those people aren't there and you really need to reach out to someone. And you know, there's just so many different emotions involved into it that I don't know that there's a right or wrong way to deal with the loss. But there are certain things like birthdays, and there was just a day before Mother's Day was her birthday.
Yeah.
And then we had Mother's Day after that. And you just do what you can do. And like I say, I don't know. You get real confused over it.
You don't really know
how to deal with it. It's hard to help the other people in your family deal with it as well, because then you think you're starting to sound like people are trying to help you, or mm-hmm. think they're trying to help you at least.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not condemning them by any means. A good friend would reach out, but it's just that sometimes you just don't want them to, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sometimes the best thing that a good friend can do is just be there and just
listen.
We lost
our daughter to childbirth, but there's a bright spot. We got a six-month-old granddaughter now.
Oh,
and
my.
And she pulled through and after a certain amount of time in the hospital. So there's always a bright light that'll keep shining.
Well, that's certainly a blessing for you, yes.
Yeah. All righty. I just wanted to put my two cents in.
I appreciate it, Roger.
Roger, anytime.
You know, the thing is that good friends mean well. We do. And many times we don't know what to say. We just at a loss for words. I remember one story about a little girl that was next door visiting her neighbor, and the neighbor had lost her husband. And the little girl came back after a period of time. The mom knew where she was, but the little girl came back home, and the mom just asked her, said, "Where have you been?" She said, "Well, I've been next door to Mrs. Smith." And she said, "Well, what did you do?" And she said, "Well, I just wanted to go over and talk with her. I knew that Mr. Smith was no longer there." And she said, "Well, what did you say?" And she said, "I didn't say anything, Mama. I just climbed up on Mrs. Smith's lap and just hugged her. And we just both cried a while." You know, the thing is that we need connection. Grief is so isolating that we feel so isolated in our grief that we need other people to be there for us, but people that are there with us and not just giving advice. or offering cliches or platitudes. We need people that say, honestly, if you've never been through that situation, we need to say, I don't know how you feel, but I'm here for you. We need people to connect with us as we're grieving. And we need to reach out to people who are grieving and connect with them and be there for them. But to be there in a way that allows them to continue their grief work. And this really is a concept that I want to get across this morning. Grief is work. And we have no right to come to somebody because we feel uncomfortable about their grief and say, you know, it's been long enough, you need to get over this, you need to get past this, because we're uncomfortable with it. When what we need to be is be there for them. You know, we don't walk into a hospital room and tell somebody, because they've been there for 6 months in traction, say, you need to get up and walk. You need to get on with your life. We don't do that. We need to be thrown out of the hospital. But so many people tell people who have experienced loss those very words. You need to get on with your life. You need to get active and get busy again. Okay? And so we need to be careful. We need to be careful about what we say when someone that we love has experienced the loss of a parent or a spouse or a child or a brother, sister, whatever the loss may have been of that loved one. And especially if it's a tragedy that comes upon someone all of a sudden.
You know, it's kind of funny when things happen at the onset. I think the ones that have a chance to at least start the grieving process aren't the direct family members. The friends and family and things like that that attend the funeral, that go to the visitation, that are not part of the inner circle of that tight family, can actually start the process. They can start to say goodbye. They can recognize that they're no longer here. They get to attend the funeral. They get to go through things. You know, that a lot of the families are so busy trying to put on the show. Now, I know that sounds harsh and kind of cold, but going through all the funeral arrangements, going through all the things, what the family member will wear, how the service will be, how long it'll be, where it'll be. And then everyone that comes to visit, everyone that comes to go through, they're almost having to run the show without actually really getting to participate in it. And it isn't until the family members are now left alone, when the funeral is over and the potlucks are done and people are going back into their life, does the family really get a chance to say, now we have to say goodbye. We have to be able to have the time to say goodbye. And the time when we should begin, a lot of times we're taking care of all the other little things that happen. So it's important to recognize we have to have that time. And that it's okay to say goodbye. It is okay to hurt. It is okay to cry. It is okay to sit and talk. A friend of mine helped me out a couple years ago. You know, I grew up in the Midwest. It's part of the pull you up by your own bootstraps mentality, and you try to work your way through things and tough it out. But the friend described a funeral that happened over in Africa. He said, we were on our way to this village, and we're going up to the mountainside, and everyone's sitting and talking, and they're laughing and cutting up, and people are just kind of going through the day-to-day thing on a trip from one village to the other. He said, as soon as they got off the bus, as soon as the bus stopped and they got in this village, the atmosphere just did a 180. And so people got off and they were wailing and they were beating their chest and they were crying and the whole village was crying and everyone was hurting together. They were allowing themselves to lament the loss of this person that they had gone to honor and this family that was there, and they were in it together. He said the entire time there, people were crying and wailing and wanting to know why this happened. But they were allowed to do it. They were allowed to start to lament the loss of this person. And when people got back on the bus, things had started to kind of calm back down and start to return back to a normal setting. But they allowed themselves the time to do that at that moment, at that time to begin. And they did it as a family. They did it as a community. They did it on an ongoing basis. It is hard to say goodbye. It wasn't long after that I lost my granddad. I think it was within about 8 months. And it was unexpected. I had no idea he was leaving. But it allowed me the opportunity, the permission, to be a man and to say, you know, this hurts. This isn't fair. I didn't get to say goodbye the way I wanted to. I didn't get to be there. But it allowed me the permission to be able to hurt and to start realizing that his life, his legacy continues. But allowed me permission to start to go through it and to deal with it from that moment. Not waiting 6 months, a year, 24 months, etc. But to be able to take this as part of life. So this morning, as we wind out the bottom half of the show here, if you have comments or questions, you'd like to give us a call at 862-9977, 862-9977, or 1-800-375-0056. This is the life you've always wanted. We've discussed this every Monday morning for the past year. This is our one-year anniversary. If you know someone that needs help, and they are hurting, and they're continuing to hurt, and the all honesty, you don't know what to do, the best thing you can do is refer them on. Maybe they need to talk with someone who has a better understanding, such as WK. Wonderful person to talk to. Give them a phone number, 882-6767. That's the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute, 882-6767. Give them a number. Let them come in and talk about this with someone who understands what's going on. WK is a great listener. If you have that need, or if you know someone else who has that need, give us a call. We'll be back.
Hi, this is WK Boyce. Join me each Monday morning at 10 a.m., where we discuss the issues of life, love, family, marriage, even politics. It's the life you've always wanted. Brought to you by Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. Professional counseling founded on Christian principles for real-life solutions. Check us out at springfieldmfi.com or call us at 882-6767 to speak to someone today. It's your life, your choice. Make it a great one.
Listening to The Life You've Always Wanted, brought to you by the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute, and with WK and Ken Boyce as your hosts. We're back with the second half of the program.
And good morning. If you would join us, we've been talking this morning here on The Life You've Always Wanted about the tragedies that have been occurring here in Oklahoma and Southwest Missouri and down across Arkansas, and about how tragedy, when tragedy comes and loss happens in a family, loss of a child, loss of a spouse, of a parent, grandparent, brother, sister, whatever the loss may be, that there are losses that we have to heal from. And there's some things that, as we've been talking about different experiences, people handle grief. Each person handles their grief in their own way. But there's some common general characteristics or themes also that needs to be understood, and it helps to understand what can happen. I know that we talked, in fact, Roger called the first part of the program and shared with us the fact that he had lost a daughter back in September.
During childbirth,
yeah. And the grandchild lived, but he lost his daughter. And when that happens, it's important to know kind of the process that you're going to undergo. You know, there's some things that, especially as married couples, that we need to know if we lose a child, if that happens. And first of all, it's important to recognize that grief is devastating. You know, it will last a long time, and it will cause many problems. And if a couple realizes this here at the outset of their loss, it can help them or keep them from questioning the validity of their marriage when difficulties arise. And they will arise during that grief process. And then second of all, it's also essential to recognize that although similarities exist, each person in a family or marriage is unique and will manage grief in his own way or her own unique way. That means grieving for different lengths of time, expressing pain in different ways, reacting differently to the same stimulus, to the same situation. You know, it's important to allow enough space in the marriage to accommodate differences in the grieving. It's also crucial for couples not to drift too far apart or to try to function with no support. Grief, as we said earlier, is an isolating experience. And when mourning, people tend to withdraw from others, including their spouse. And because of this, that's the reason spouses need to keep tabs on how each partner is doing. A couple has to talk with each other. They must be careful not to assume that because they're no longer talking about the child who died or the person who died, that they're doing okay. You know, the pain that builds up often keeps people from sharing. And there's often the belief that, you know, I should just be over this by now.
Mm-hmm.
And then people who suffer in silence do not receive the support that they need. And so we just need to know that we need support. When we suffer a loss, we experience the death of a child or of a spouse, we need support. It's important for our healing and for the continuing and completing that grieving process.
You know, the other thing is that death also brings out some of the things that are lying in wait below the surface.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of these marriages that end in divorce, it wasn't the fact that the child died, but it may have been the straw that broke the camel's back. There have been other things that are lying under the surface, other things that have been affecting the family that maybe they haven't been able to deal with or wanting to deal with. And then you add all of this on top, and they just honestly don't know what to do anymore. They lost everything. So a lot of times death brings to light other things that are below the surface that haven't been dealt with or need to be dealt with. So it is important that the husband and the wife remember to be able to put the relationship first, give each other the time to be able to deal with it and deal with it in their own way and recognize that's going to be different. But if there are other issues below the surface, this is only going to amplify things. The pain, the frustration. Don't try to do this by yourself then. You're not by yourself. You're not alone. If you have a family member that's there, they may be able to help. If a family member can't, if a friend can't, WK can. Marty can. Leslie can. Christina can. Who are all these people? That's part of what we do at Springfield Marriage and Family Institute, is help those who want to help themselves. Life can go on. Things can be survived. Sometimes we need outside help, and that's okay. That's okay.
Exactly. You know, we are here to help if we can, if you need us to help. It sometimes helps to talk to somebody, especially if the grief, you feel stuck. You don't feel like you're moving forward, and you don't know why. Sometimes we can help, and we're here to help. That's part of our training. It's part of our desire is to be here for you. You know, there's some common myths about grieving, and a lot of these are just encapsulated in our society, but these are stated and believed by a lot of people. We talked about it in the first part of the program, who mean well, good friends that mean well, but they're saying some things that are coming out of the myths, just believing these myths. And one, you hear statements like, you know, it's been a year since your spouse died. Don't you think you should be dating by now? You know, the reality is that it's impossible to simply replace a loved one. We can't replace anybody. Nobody is replaceable. I know parents who have lost a child are told by well-meaning people, you can always have other children. And they mean well, but that doesn't help. We can't replace people. It takes a long time to develop relationships and to grow that love in families. And we don't replace people. We don't replace a spouse. Now, we can heal and we can grow and move forward with our life and love someone else, but we never replace anybody. Don't replace a spouse, won't replace a child. We just don't. You know, another thing that people say is that you look so well. You tell a bereaved person, you just look so well. Well, you know, the bereaved do look like the non-bereaved on the outside. But inside, they experience a huge range of chaotic emotions. You know, there's shock and numbness and anger and disbelief and betrayal. Rage is there. Regret is there. Guilt is there many times. And these feelings are intense and they are confusing. So simply stating that someone looks well isn't connecting with them. And that's what I'm talking about earlier at the first part of the program. We have to connect with people.
Yeah, British author C.S. Lewis wrote, shortly after his wife died. In grief, nothing stays put. One keeps emerging from a phase, but it always reoccurs. Round and round, everything repeats. Am I going in circles, or do I dare hope I'm on a spiral? But if a spiral, am I going up, or am I going down?
Yeah, he could write so well. In fact, he lost his wife and wrote a book about it called A Grief Observed. And if you've not read that book, I encourage you to read it. It's called A Grief Observed by C.S. Lewis. And so many people have found comfort in connecting with him and identifying with him and what he experienced in the loss of his wife. You know, when people say, you look so well, grievers just feel misunderstood and they feel more isolated when people make that statement. You know, another myth is the best thing we can do for the bereaved, for the one that's grieving, is to avoid discussing the loss. And that's the best thing we can do. In fact, that's not necessarily stated a lot of times, but that's how people behave toward those who are grieving. We're just not going to talk about the loss. You know, and those who are grieving need and want to talk about their loss, including the minutest details connected to the loss. I like the phrase, grief shared is a grief diminished. Each time someone's grieving talks about the loss, a layer of pain is shed. And yet, not many people are given that opportunity. If you know someone that has lost a spouse or lost a child, it's important to go in connecting with that person, being with that person. Allow them the opportunity to share about that person. To talk about the relationship, to talk about what they meant, talk about how important they were in their life. Because it's celebrating that person's life, and it's also honoring this person who's grieving and allowing them to heal. So we need the opportunity to talk. If we're grieving, we need that. We can't be demanded to talk, but we need that opportunity.
Yeah, I was going to say, not every time we get together, do we have to talk about it or want to talk about it, or should we try to force the person to talk about it? This is something that will happen in conversation. Literally, it will or it won't. But to allow it to have that openness, that if it needs to be talked about or to be remembered, to do that.
Yeah, I've actually had people tell me, talk with me and say, you know, the way people treat me, it's as if my husband never existed. Or my wife never existed. Because no one's talking about them. And they're not allowing me the opportunity to talk about them either. Okay, and it's painful. It's very painful. And again, it comes back to the myth about, you know, it's been 6 months or 9 months, 12 months. Don't you think you should be over it? No. I tell you right now, no.
It's not your heart, it's mine.
There's no quick fix for grieving. And I know many places that we're employed, you know, they give us 3 days to go to the funeral and get back, and we're expected to perform at 100% again. As though nothing has changed in our life. So what do we do? Grief is a deep wound, and it takes a long time to heal, and that time frame differs from person to person according to their circumstances. You know, another myth is that you need to be active and get out more. As though being around people and dating people or going places are going to somehow replace or distract the person from the pain that they have. Those who experience the loss of a spouse know that everywhere they go, that they've gone with that spouse before, knows that everywhere they go reminds them of the spouse. And if you've lived in the same town for 50 years, everywhere you turn reminds you of the person that you've lost. And so we need to be sensitive. We need to be aware that grief takes a long time and that we can't just distract ourselves out of grief.
And for those of us who do put it aside, it will come back to bite us. We cannot put it away forever. Because a lot of times, the longer we put it away, the more guilt we'll have later, because it accumulates.
Yeah.
And then we got more than just the issue of loss to deal with.
That's a great point. You know, we have to do the grief work. We have to go through it. And the only way to get out of grief is to go through grief. We can't deny it. We can't distract ourselves away from it. We can't numb ourselves to it through drugs, alcohol, whatever it may be. We've got to go through it. We've got to lean into it to get out of it, to be healed. And we've got to do the work.
You know, myth number six is funerals are too expensive and, the services are just too depressing. And the reality is the funeral costs can vary, but they can be managed by the family. More importantly than all of the fanfare and hoopla, the visitation, the service, and the ritual create that experience, and it is therapeutic. For those that are hurting, for those that are grieving.
And that goes back to the lamenting that you were talking about a minute ago.
That's allowing this to happen. allowing us to begin to start to recognize that they're gone. You know, the service is a time for those feelings and talk about the loved one and begin accepting that the death happened. And then that's part of life. You know, so many times we go, it just doesn't make sense. Why did they die now? You know, in most cases, weren't planned that we arrived on the earth at this point. Even though the birth is a glorious thing, a lot of times we didn't plan when we would get here. We don't plan when we leave. That's part of the life cycle. That's part of what we are talking about here is living life to the fullest. That's why we talk about not wasting time. That's why when we're saying, look, if you got a marriage and you're hurting, don't waste time. That's the one thing you can't get back. Money, houses, cars, clothes, none of those things matter. All those things can be replaced. It's the time we have. We can't replace. We're given a certain amount of it. We don't know what it is. But we must live life to the fullest. And one thing with death is that that's at the conclusion of life. It happens. And we have to be able to begin to accept that and continue on with our lives. To be able to hurt through it. To be able to go through it. You know, the most amazing thing is we're hurting because we had feelings. If you didn't care, you wouldn't hurt.
That's right.
If you didn't care, you don't hurt. You don't know. The hurt, the pain is a reflection of the love that's there. The emotions that are there.
Yeah, the depth that we love is the depth that we hurt, that we grieve.
And that's what the funerals begin. Myth number 7. It was the will of God. Or I had to go into the...
And that's how it's said a lot of times.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's said a lot. That is said a lot. Anytime someone dies, well, this is God's will.
Especially unexpectedly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very seldom said at the death of someone that's 115 years old, this is God's will. Well, you know, God never willed death. In fact, he sent Jesus to conquer death for us. And so I have a real problem in theology saying, this is God's will. This is a matter of life. It's a matter of how the brokenness of creation we live in. And instead of saying it's God's will, wouldn't it be better to suggest perhaps that God is with you in your pain, or God will help you each day, or God will guide you through this difficult time? And instead of talking about God taking a loved one, it could be, and I think is more theologically accurate, to say that God is receiving and welcoming a loved one. And so we need to be very careful how we say things to people who are grieving, and to know that pain is there.
You know, as we wrap things down, I hope this has been beneficial to us, because this helps us in not only the tragedies such as a tornado and the loss of family members and friends that in instances like that, whether it's death due to car wreck, tornado, storm, earthquake, whatever the situation is. But this also, these same things happen in the loss of relationships. When family systems break down, when couples divorce, the same aspects are there. The same feelings are there. And understanding that helps us be able to go through it and to continue with our life and to strengthen ourselves. This is The Life You've Always Wanted, brought to you by the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. If you have questions, comments, or concerns, give us a call, 882-6767. If you need to talk about it or have a friend that needs to talk, give us a call. Set up a time to come in. We'd be more than happy to help. Again, it's your life.
It's your choice.
Make it a great one.